Hello, it's John Dennis on Friday the 10th of April. Today we present a special edition of Guardian Daily focusing on the crisis at the Metropolitan Police. First, there was the death of Ian Tomlinson and controversy over policing of the G20 protest.
Paul Stevenson kind of took over saying he was a man who didn't want to be a celebrity and he would tackle the main issues, and the ones that have faced him, the latest is the death of Ian Tomlinson.
Then there was the way the Met, as well as the City of London Force and the Independent Police Complaints Commission, conducted themselves after Mr. Tomlinson's death.
The IPCC did not start an independent investigation immediately. Instead, what they did was manage the City of London police investigation. A managed investigation is very different from an independent one.
And the Met's woes were compounded yesterday with the sudden resignation of Britain's top anti-terror policeman, Bob Quick, the assistant Met commissioner, after he revealed details of a top secret operation.
I happened with great reluctance and sadness as chairman of the Metropolitan Police Authority accepted Bob Quick's resignation.
Guardian Daily with John Dennis on guardian.co.uk.
I'm with Duncan Campbell, The Guardian's former crime correspondent. But before we hear from him or our other guests, today's news and a look at the papers.
Hello, I'm Douglas Hardy. Italy is holding a national day of mourning today for the 287 people known to have died in the earthquake which hit the centre of the country on Monday. There'll be a mass state funeral outside the city of L'Aquila. Italy's president, Giorgio Napolitano, has blamed poor construction for the scale of the deaths, saying there had been widespread irresponsibility in the design and construction of modern buildings. Suspects being questioned today after one of the biggest anti-terror operations since the July 7th attacks in London had exploited lax student visa regulations to enter the UK from Pakistan. That's according to sources in Whitehall. The Home Office says checks have been tightened within the last 2 weeks because of widespread abuses of the system. Wednesday's raids were rushed forward after the country's top anti-terror officer walked into Downing Street, clutching papers which were clearly visible to photographers. Bob Quick later resigned. The questioning of the police officer who attacked Ian Tomlinson shortly before he died at the G20 protests has still to begin. Scotland Yard has suspended the officer from duty. Sources with knowledge of the inquiry say the man from the Met's territorial support group has yet to be interviewed by the Independent Police Complaints Commission, which is carrying out the investigation. The IPCC has declined to confirm or deny whether questioners have spoken to him. British museums, galleries and stately homes are preparing for a bumper weekend. They're hoping that the first bank holiday of the year, with a chance of decent weather combined with the credit crunch and a strong euro, will bring record numbers of visitors to the nation's historic attractions. Those are the main news stories this morning. Let's take a look at the papers now. Many still leading on those arrests in the northwest of England. Student Passport to Terror, says the Mail, which reports that Britain hands out thousands of visas to bogus students, including Al-Qaeda fanatics. Plot to bomb Easter shoppers is the Telegraph's headline. Sources have told the paper that Manchester shopping centres were the intended target of the alleged potential bombers. The Sun concentrates on the fate of the man who inadvertently brought the arrests forward. You can't quit quicker than a thick, quick quitter, is the paper's lead, with the story that Bob Quick resigned at 25 past seven yesterday morning before he could be disciplined for his security lapse. Now, The Independent takes a different story as its lead this morning, concentrating on the Parliament Square protest at Sri Lankan attacks on Tamils in the north of the Asian country. A 21-year-old student says that he's starving himself to death in protest. The paper carries a picture of the man with the headline, "I have no choice but to die." The Times, on the other hand, is in holiday mood. It has a front-page picture of waterproofed children running across Bournemouth Beach with the caption, "Get your raincoat, the holiday starts here." While The Express is in optimistic mood about the housing market, quoting a raft of experts who say that the slump is coming to an end and prices are about to start rising again. Let's wait and see if they're right about that. More news and comment throughout the day then at guardian.co.uk.
The Metropolitan Police Commissioner, Sir Paul Stevenson, has had his toughest week since taking over from Sir Ian Blair last year. Yesterday, an officer was suspended after a film emerged of him attacking the newspaper vendor Ian Tomlinson during the G20 protests last week. On Wednesday, Assistant Commissioner Bob Quick, in charge of fighting terrorism in the UK, was pictured by the media at Downing Street carrying a briefing note that said 10 terror suspects were in the UK on student visas. Within hours, 12 people were arrested in a series of raids in northern England. Counter-terrorism officials believe an Al-Qaeda plot designed to cause mass casualties was due to be carried out within days. Bob Quick resigned yesterday after inadvertently revealing details of the plot. Gordon Brown paid tribute to Bob Quick's work.
I've spoken to Bob Quick this morning. I've thanked him for his years of service. He has apologised for what went wrong yesterday. I've also spoken to Sir Paul Stevenson, the head of the Metropolitan Police, and said that we expect this investigation to move forward in the normal way. I think one important part of this that's got to be recognised is that increasingly we have seen terrorist links with Pakistan.
Duncan Campbell, for many years The Guardian's crime correspondent and an expert on the Met, is here. He'll be with me throughout today's programme. Duncan, Gordon Brown says this was a very big terror plot. What do we know about it?
Well, at the moment, it's still slightly vague as to what was actually planned, or indeed if anything was planned. And I would hate to jump the gun, because some of these plots we've seen in the past fall apart. Some of them turn out to be extremely serious. And I think it's very difficult within the first sort of 24 hours to make a proper assessment. The allegation is that something was planned for Easter. Amongst the suggestions are a nightclub, amongst the suggestions are a supermarket. But as I say, I think without hearing from the people who've been arrested, their lawyers, their colleagues, I think it's terribly dangerous to either speculate or assume.
Now, it was the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, who announced Bob Quick's resignation as Assistant Commissioner. He phoned the BBC's Today programme.
I had this morning with great reluctance and sadness as head of the, as chairman of the Metropolitan Police Authority, accepted Bob Quick's resignation and as head of counter-terrorism. And John Yates is going to be appointed, and I think he will do a first-class job. As everybody with the knowledge of the Met knows, John Yates is a highly experienced officer and will, I think, do a fantastic job in counter-terrorism.
Duncan, Bob Quick had to go, didn't he?
He definitely did, and I think it was interesting that he went so quickly. There doesn't seem to have been any resistance to it.
He was already under fire over the arrest of the Tory immigration spokesman Damian Green.
Yes, and also his own reaction to criticisms made of him and then investigations made into a business run by his wife, and his rather over-the-top response to that, I think, raised questions about his suitability for such a high-profile job. Having said that, he applied last year for the commissioner's job, although he wasn't shortlisted, so he obviously felt that he was capable of taking on that highest offices, but I think there wasn't much question that he had to go.
Well, one possible future commissioner is John Yates. Yates of the Yard to the Rescue. You wrote in The Guardian yesterday. John Yates, a safe pair of hands?
Yes, I think he's one of the smartest people around. The good thing about him, I think, is he's not defensive like a lot of his other colleagues, i.e. when the Met has got something very wrong, he will admit it and acknowledge it. He went out to Brazil to apologise to the family of John Charles de Menezes. He apologised to Colin Stagg over the Rachel Nickell murders. He's dealing with the Binyam Mohamed torture allegations. So whenever there's a mess, it seems to be Yates is sent for. And I think this will be his biggest test so far. His name was thrown around as a possible commissioner last year, and I think the general feeling was he's 50, I think, now, that it was next time around that he might be going for it. And I think his test will be how he handles both running the terror operation in this country, but also how he handles himself when inevitably he comes under fire for one reason or another.
Well, the current Met Commissioner, Sir Paul Stevenson, has not only some of the cases you mentioned there, Duncan, but a whole lot else in his in-tray besides, as Sandra Laville, The Guardian's crime correspondent, explains.
Sir Paul Stevenson kind of took over saying he was a man who didn't want to be a celebrity and he would tackle the main issues. And the ones that have faced him recently are The latest is the death of Ian Tomlinson, in which his public order officers have... There's been an assault on a man who's later died. But before that, he's had serious problems about failings in rape investigations. Two serial rapists were left to attack hundreds of women because officers didn't follow basic investigatory techniques and follow the evidence. And in addition to that, he's got a counter-terrorism department which has just lost its most senior commander less than 2 years after they lost the previous commander.
In terms of the policing of G20, a whole range of criticisms have now been directed at the police, including the way they stoked up the fear ahead of the protest.
They gave a series of briefings in which senior public order commanders said that there would be violence, and they said this phrase, "we're up for it and up to it," which in a meeting with senior officers and journalists might be read one way, but in the rank and file, "up for it" means one thing and one thing only.
And the officer filmed attacking Ian Tomlinson was part of the territorial support group, and the territorial support group is now under quite a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, the territorial support group are the officers in vans who go around and attend public order events. But there have been serious allegations made about some of the territorial support group officers and a series of racial assaults made over the last couple of years. So there is a huge amount of scrutiny upon them, although the officers involved in an assault on Barbara Ahmed, in which the Met paid £60,000 to Barbara Ahmed's family for the assault, those officers, five out of the six of those officers, are still on duty.
Now, John Yates has taken over from Bob Quick. Is there a wealth of talent at the Met to take on these responsible roles?
John Yates is the talent that keeps being moved around. I mean, they're bleeding senior officers. They've lost six or seven in the last 2.5 years. Quite talented people are Andy Heyman, Peter Clark in counterterrorism, Tariq Gafour, who was an assistant commissioner, and before him, Brian Paddock. So they're now having to promote deputy assistant commissioners to assistant commissioner roles. And they've got no strength in depth anymore, so they've got a serious problem there.
Sandra Laville. Well, Duncan, is there a divide between the Metropolitan Police and the community that they're policing?
Well, I think there always has been and there always will be, and it's either a wide divide or a narrow divide, and it depends on the particular circumstances. But I think the immediate reaction after the G20 demonstrations, if you look in the media, was that they had done a good job, that most of the media coverage was very favourable, and in fact it was only the Guardian that raised questions about it and only the Guardian that ran the death of Ian Tomlinson on the front page. And I think what you've seen since then has been both the realisation that policing was not quite as neat and tidy as the police had been suggesting at the time, and then secondly the business with Quick, and the combination of those two immediately turns the spotlight on Sir Paul Stevenson and the way he's running things, and I think he's now experiencing the heat that Sir Ian Blair got used to and eventually had to bow away from when he resigned, and it'll be very interesting to see whether Sir Paul handles it in a different way. But I mean, I think there is always a certain amount of tension between policing in any community and the people they police, and certainly no one's suggesting that the police here behaved like, for instance, the Italian police in Genoa during the anti-globalisation events in 2001, when they just went crackers and behaved like a bunch of neo-fascist thugs. But at the same time, you police in this country by consent. And you lose consent if it seems that you're abusing your powers. And I think a lot of the footage that we're seeing on Guardian website now of the police perhaps overhyped at the demonstrations, up for it, you might say, some of them, will alienate the middle ground who would have given them the benefit of the doubt before.
Do you think the police will review their tactics ahead of future demonstrations?
I think they're bound to, but particularly over kettling, this business whereby people are not allowed to move. And depending on what transpires over the death of Ian Tomlinson, some of the witnesses now coming forward are saying that Tomlinson said, "I'm just trying to go home, I live round the corner," and kept being rebuffed and being rebuffed by this extremely rigid interpretation of kettling. And if the police don't review it, then there's something wrong with the police.
Well, Tony Travers is director of the Greater London Group at the London School of Economics. He concedes, obviously, that it's been a bad week for the Met.
The coming together of Bob Quick's resignation so soon after the Guardian's revelations about the footage of the man hit by a Met, or apparently hit by a Met police officer at the G20 demonstration, sort of, I think, will beg questions about who really is in control at Scotland Yard. I mean, these are not the only incidents, by the way. There's still fallout from earlier problems that have faced the Met, not least of which was John Charles de Menezes. And I think that if we look at all of these taken together, the question of exactly who is in charge and how the commissioner, who is responsible for operational police, the Home Secretary, who has a role, the Mayor of London and the Metropolitan Police Authority are variously responsible, probably needs some clearing up.
What do you make of the fact that it was the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, who announced the resignation of Bob Quick?
Well, I must say, I heard this on the radio and I was surprised that it was the Mayor of London. I mean, that's not to say the Mayor of London doesn't have a role, as I've just suggested. The Mayor of London provides the budget for the Metropolitan Police and chairs the Metropolitan Police Authority. But given that Bob Quick's role was very much part of the national activities of the Met, if you were looking for a politician who might have come on the radio to say Bob Quick was going, you might have thought it would be the Home Secretary. But the fact is that Boris Johnson's appearance just, I think, points to this complexity. If you try to answer the question, who is responsible for policing in London, indeed for terrorism throughout the country?
Duncan, this duality, this dual purpose that Tony Travers raised there, can that continue? You know, the Met's responsible for anti-terrorism throughout the whole country, but it's also the local police in London.
Yes, I think it can continue, I think there is a problem when it appears that Boris Johnson is appointing the next chief anti-terror chief, and I think that was badly handled. It's a police appointment, not a mayoral appointment. It's not like the commissioner, where the Home Secretary is getting involved, and so I think that was badly handled. But because so much of the policing intelligence and policing technology and most experienced officers are all based at Scotland Yard and in the Met, I think it's very difficult to have a separate operation, because there's a lot of stuff where they're looking at potential anti-terror stuff, but it may have a criminal link, false passports or illegal entry into the country and all kinds of things like that. So I don't think you can set up a separate body out with Scotland Yard. I think there's always going to be that. But I think it should be made clear that the Mayor of London has a responsibility for the policing of London, but he doesn't have an overall responsibility for anti-terror policing.
Well, this week might go down as the point at which it became clear that the Independent Police Complaints Commission was in need of reform. It reversed its original decision to allow the City of London Police to investigate the death of Ian Tomlinson. Afua Hirsch is The Guardian's legal affairs correspondent.
When allegations were made, in large part because of the footage that The Guardian obtained, the IPCC did not start an independent investigation immediately. Instead, what they did was manage the City of London Police investigation. A managed investigation is very different from an independent one. And whenever there is a serious allegation of police involvement leading up to a death, there should be an independent investigation.
Because as Brian Paddock said, there were several officers from the City of London Police Force present when Mr. Tomlinson was struck. So for that force to be involved in the investigation was clearly wrong.
It's quite remarkable, because the idea of having another force conduct an investigation is supposed to offer some kind of independence, even without the IPCC directly conducting it. In this case, it was the City of London Police and the Met Police involved in policing the protests. So the allegation also was that some of the officers who'd been in contact with Ian Tomlinson were City of London officers, which does raise very serious questions about their capacity to conduct any kind of objective investigation at all. And another issue is that during that time, the police immediately released statements saying that they hadn't had any contact with Ian Tomlinson. From a legal perspective, that raises the question as to how they could have been seriously conducting an investigation, objectively trying to establish the facts, when they were simultaneously briefing that those facts had not taken place in the way suggested. So I think it raises very fundamental questions about the nature of the early investigation. And it's worth bearing in mind that in an event of this nature and the tragic death, the moments immediately after that occurs are crucial. And that's when you would expect evidence to be being collected at the scene of the incident, eyewitness accounts to be being taken. And in this case, it was The Guardian who went round collecting that evidence and presenting it. And really, one would expect that to have been done by the police.
And at one point on Tuesday night, it appeared that it was The Guardian that was under investigation and not the police.
Well, there were really a remarkable series of events this week. The police, when The Guardian published the footage, the IPCC then said that The Guardian was running the risk of prejudicing the investigation. Now, that begs the question as to whether there would have been an investigation were it not for The Guardian aggressively publishing and persisting in its use of that footage. So I think that the response of both the police and the IPCC really has been quite remarkable, and it's put The Guardian in a position of really driving forward an issue that otherwise, it appears, would have been buried.
This isn't the first time that public confidence in an independent police complaints system has been undermined. Will the IPCC now face further reforms?
I think it's inevitable that serious questions will be continued to be asked. Many people that I've spoken to and many lawyers who've been involved in numerous cases with the IPCC have said that everything that went wrong in the Ian Tomlinson case was predictable and a repeat of things that have gone wrong in the past. The IPCC has been under continuous criticism for its lack of independence and for its tendency to really join forces with the police. If they are to act in a truly independent way, they need to step away from the police. And in a situation like this, you would have expected them to actually cooperate with The Guardian rather than side with the police against the information we were putting out in the public domain. I think this case may in some ways have a very positive long-term effect by forcing the issue of the IPCC's need to reform onto the agenda.
Afua Hirsch. Duncan, can we expect a criminal prosecution in the case of Ian Tomlinson?
Much too early to say, really. We have to know the context. We have to see whether or not Mr. Tomlinson had some inherent physical weakness that led to his death. And I think every day we're getting new bits of footage coming in. So I imagine that the people conducting the inquiry are also getting new bits of information. And one hopes that they're going to be a bit more diligent than they were in the first week, because I think they dropped the ball on this. And I hope they've picked it up and carry out a proper, diligent and robust inquiry.
As Afua says, this isn't the first time that public confidence in an independent police complaint system has been undermined. Why don't you think the police learned the lessons of Jean-Charles de Menezes?
Well, I think partly because it took so long to resolve, and one wanted in the de Menezes case a much speedier investigation, I think. And there was a feeling, both amongst the members of the de Menezes family and lawyers and observers, that it had not been carried out with the sort of diligence that you would hope. And I think it's terribly important that the IPCC, what used to be the PCA, Police Complaints Authority, is seen as doing a good job, both by the police doing an honest job and by the people who are making the complaints. The police used to complain in the old days that the PCA, the Police Complaints Authority, the PCA actually stood for prosecute coppers always. And in fact, it didn't. But I think that has had an effect on some of the IPCC personnel. They don't want to be seen as constantly hostile to the police, and therefore they've sometimes, I feel, tended to take the version of events that they've been given without as much scrutiny as they should have done. And I think the Tomlinson case is an example. And I think if it hadn't been for The Guardian highlighting it, I think the IPCC would have passed it by.
How will the rank-and-file police officers be feeling this weekend?
Well, I think that a lot of... I was at the big demonstration, this G20 German demonstration outside the bank for about 8 hours, in fact, until it ended on the day. And I spoke to a lot of officers on the ground about the tactics. There were lots of them who were trying to defuse the situation, who were being very pleasant, very good-natured, who were laughing about a lot of the music. A lot of things have been forgotten that, you know, there was a lot of quite playful stuff going on, you know, singers and jugglers and performers and people dressed up and people, you know, with funny banners and outfits and everything. It's all slightly been lost with the events that have happened since. And I think a lot of them were baffled and puzzled as to why they were not allowed to allow people who were perfectly obviously not going to smash windows to leave the area. And they kept saying, don't ask me, ask the gaffer. We've been told to stay here independently. So I feel sorry for them because I think they were doing a decent, honest job. And it's, you know, it's alarming as a young police officer to have people spitting at you or abusing you or taunting you and trying to get you to react. But they are trained to do that. They are paid to do that. I think there were also a number of officers, and I saw some of them, who were very, very hyped up and kind of cruising for a bruising, really. They were, and towards the end, again talking to people at Bishopsgate who were at the climate change camp, they saw a lot of violence after the main television cameras had gone home and into the night. So I think some of the officers who did a decent, honest, good-natured job will feel let down by some of their colleagues who just went a bit crackers towards the end.
You mentioned the role that the film obtained by The Guardian, there's also been other evidence gathered by other media organisations, has played in the... it's illuminated the role that the police played in the death of Ian Tomlinson. It's been an interesting week from that aspect, hasn't it? I mean, it does show us that citizen journalism has a useful role to play in protecting the public.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I don't think I've ever been at a demonstration that's been so heavily filmed. There were police on the rooftops filming and with spotters pointing out to whoever was causing trouble and then filming them. There were all of television cameras. There was us lot, you know, our photographers taking both moving stuff and stills. And then there were all the protesters taking stuff with their phones or little cameras or whatever. Plus, of course, the security cameras of the banks, plus the local authorities' CCTV. So, I mean, it was talk about the revolution not being televised. You never had so much footage coming out. And I think it has been very good. The stuff that we've been running on The Guardian came as a result of somebody seeing that The Guardian seemed to be taking a great interest in this, but we didn't have that crucial piece of evidence. So once he had offered that, then we've had a whole lot more. There's been more stuff coming in over the last day or so of other parts of the march. So we're gradually building and building this picture. So, yeah, it's great if there are people on the street at demonstrations and public events who are able to do it. So it's a vindication of that form of citizen journalism.
And as a last word, Duncan, do you think that Sir Paul Stephenson has the confidence of his staff and the experience and ability, really, to move the force on and to get them out of this hole?
I think he's got the responsibility of his staff. He was always very much a kind of person who had the backing of the rank and file, you know, much more so than Sir Ian Blair, I think. More like John Stevens in terms of being a copper's copper and so on. What I think he doesn't have at the moment, and this will be his test period, is the confidence of quite a bit of the general public as to how he's going to handle it. Is he going to carry out a robust investigation? Is he going to act promptly? Ken Livingstone made the point it took a matter of hours for Bob Quick, who made an error, you know, maybe a foolish error, but not a corrupt error or a violent error, to be disposed of. But it took a week before anything much happened in the wake of a middle-aged man dying in the middle of a demonstration.
Well, Duncan, many thanks for joining us. Guardian Daily today was produced by Phil Maynard and Doug Hardy. I'm John Dennis. Thank you for listening.